This is Damien O'Doherty on the conference call pod for Center Maryland. You know, we have been doing what we do in our favorite master plan community in America, downtown Columbia, Maryland. We've been talking about Jim Rouse. We've been interviewing his colleagues, literally his right-hand men and women that have worked with him for generations. And I came to a conclusion, which is if Jim Rouse were on any of those phone calls or any of those Zooms, he would say, Damien, Bart Harvey, Jim Anderson, Barb Nicholas, you know better than to sit here and talk about me and my past. Your job's to go out there and make the future happen. I'm not here anymore. You are. Go out and make the future happen. And so in downtown Columbia, I got three people that are making the future happen with us today, doing things now. And really, one of the amazing things about creating a new city in the middle of a very historic hierarchical state is that as the new residents arrive, they're trying to figure out how they plug into the community. So we're going to try to be a resource to them today and offer three individuals who really lead Columbia in remarkably different ways. Philip Dodge is with the Downtown Partnership. That's an organization that is really a sort of a cement or glue organization for all of downtown Columbia. Philip's going to brief us on how that resource is important to new residents of Columbia and longtime residents alike. We also are tickled to have Elise Carter, who is a bright new voice in the Columbia Association. She is the town center representative for Columbia Association, which means she is your nitty gritty sort of Columbia Association policy expert and constituent service when it comes to all of those things that the Columbia Association offers to residents of Columbia. So Elise is going to be here to really fill us in on what the Columbia Association's role is. It's one of the largest homeowners associations in the United States. And then finally, we have our old friend with the youngest, bravest heart of us all. That's Ian Kennedy. He got this whole Columbia thing going when the Rouse Company existed without Mr. Rouse, and they thought it was going to be a good idea to redevelop Merriweather into a power center. And Ian stood up outside of his home with a few of his buddies and said, that's not going to happen. He shocked the world, worked for the county, helped set up the whole agreement between the county and the property owner there, Howard Hughes, to really hand over the keys from Columbia, from the Howard Hughes Corporation as a Rouse Company follower, and give that to the community in the form of a nonprofit organization called the Downtown Arts and Culture Commission. So when you see movies out there at Merriweather and you hear the music, or you see the amazing Darren Atwater, not only at Merriweather, but you see him at Preakness with D Nice. That's Ian Kennedy at work. So welcome, Ian, Elise, Philip. Thanks for putting up with those long introductions, but I just can't help myself. Elise, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here with you all. So I'm actually the Town Center board rep for the Town Center Community Association. My friend Kevin Fitzgerald, who also lives in the Metropolitan with me, is our Columbia Council representative for the CA. So he knows a lot of like the very nitty gritty when it comes to your pools getting open and all that good stuff that the CA really helps with as far as maintaining the land around Columbia that everybody enjoys to walk on, making the bike paths bikeable, all that good stuff. And I help out a lot with just doing things in our community and different events that we have coming up in the historic Oakland area. Different things. We just had graduation season for high schools, something that a lot of people probably don't know. The Town Center Community Association gives a small award to a member of the community every year at Wild Lake High School.
So Elise, this is interesting. So I've known Columbia for 15 years. What you're telling me is CA is a great resource, or can be a great resource for people. But what I do is the Town Center Community Association. So all of the what is that? All of the buildings, are they mostly multifamily apartment and condo buildings? Or does that also include single family? Like, what's your catchment area there in downtown Columbia?
Yeah, so town center is a little bit more unique compared to other villages, just because it is a lot of mixed family homes, apartments, condos, things of that nature down here. But we do service the whole Vantage Point neighborhood as well. So anything in and surrounding the mall in Columbia is pretty much an area that we focus on. So anything back in that Vantage Point neighborhood with the historic Oakland, the Juniper, all the new buildings in the Merriweather District that are going up, the buildings on our side where the mall is with the Metropolitan, 10M and M Flats. We service all of those individuals in those buildings.
And how do those folks get a hold of you, Elise?
So we have meetings every month, and everybody's always welcome to join. I do encourage everybody to sign up for the Town Center Columbia newsletter that you can do by going to www.columbiatowncenter.org. And it's a weekly email that comes out. It used to be in print. We still get some of those in our mailbox, but you know, everybody checks their email. That's where all the events and everything come up and different ways to get involved. Like we're looking for volunteers for upcoming events, elections, gardening and safety patrol of our areas. We have a free little pantry in the Vantage Point neighborhood. So all that stuff is in that newsletter that goes out once a month. And then we have our larger meetings the second Wednesday at 7 p.m. Everybody's welcome to come to them. You don't have to be a representative on the board. Obviously, we're the ones who vote on decisions, but the community is always welcome to join via Zoom, which will be in that newsletter link, or in person at Historic Oakland.
Elise, thank you for that education. Philip, I've been calling you the mayor of Columbia, but I might have to give that title to Elise now that I know that she is for the people and unencumbered by any other interest but the people.
I will gladly hand over that title.
Philip, talk about your organization, what it means to new and old residents of Columbia alike.
Yeah, so the partnership was born out of the 2010 Downtown Columbia redevelopment plan. And we're a lot like a business improvement district that you'd find in cities all across the country. You know, the biggest difference is most bids start in areas of disinvestment to drive reinvestment, and they start out focusing on clean and safe. You know, as our listeners know, downtown Columbia has always been clean. It's always been safe. It hasn't always been sexy, cool, or fun. So we pick up doing a lot of marketing for downtown Columbia, for Columbia as a whole, to sort of tell people, hey, this place, you know, yeah, it used to be kind of sleepy. Yeah, a mall used to be the center of downtown. And the only thing there, aside from the 30 or so nights a year that Merriweather's open. So now there's, you know, 50 restaurants in downtown Columbia. There's all these new multifamily
developments. Say that one more time for the people.
Which part?
50 restaurants in downtown Columbia. Remember the days where you would just like, you go where to you like had Clyde's?
Exactly. Yeah. So there's 50 restaurants. And probably what, 6 more opening before the end of this year. Speaking of Clyde's, the Clyde's and Soundry spaces are about to reopen as a dining destination and as a live music venue again, which should happen again, you know, probably October-ish. But yeah, so a lot of what the partnership does is marketing, telling both folks who are already here that, hey, you know, Columbia, it's the same great Columbia it's always been. It's just getting more awesome every day. And then also spreading that news outside of Howard County, outside of even Maryland, to say, you know, this is the place to be. This is the third city between Baltimore and DC. And then kind of the less sexy side of the work, although, you know, getting cooler every day, is transportation demand management. So in the downtown plan, the partnership is tasked with working with the county's Office of Transportation to implement transportation demand management. The short version of that, it means, you know, how you can add the density without breaking the infrastructure. And so we know that Howard County doesn't have transit of first choice. Like, you don't ride the bus.
Fixed rail, that's right.
you don't ride the bus unless that's your only option.
Right.
And so we know that in the short term, it's not going to be getting people to ditch their cars and ride the bus. What it is going to mean is getting them to ditch their cars and bike to work, or, you know, drive in and then take a scooter all over, or, oh my gosh, drive in and walk, because it, you know, it's all pretty close together.
I think that's some breaking news, Philip. You guys, you all delivered, well, tell the people what happened.
Scooters. After 3+ years of work, we launched e-scooter share about a week and a half ago. And so you'll see these in downtown. You'll see them in Oakland Mills, in Harper's, in Wild Lake, in Hickory Ridge, at the community college and the hospital. And, you know, just like other bigger cities, we, you know, you download the app. Our provider is Spin. So you download their app, and then you literally just scan a QR code on the top of that scooter. You unlock it. You put one foot, you know, if you're, depends on if you're goofy footed or regular footed, but you put either your left foot forward or your right foot forward. You kick off, you pull the throttle, and you go to your destination.
Boom. Let me tell you, Phil, we've done, we, you know, we passed, this is why I'm so popular in my native state. We passed the gas tax, this big Port of Baltimore and Red Line fans. My firm's done, we've represented tons of transportation companies, got the Intercounty Connector, the Purple Line approved, just got Governor Hogan's Highway approved. You know what the number one transportation innovation KO Public Affairs has been involved with is the scooters in Baltimore City. Like, if you're somebody that's just trying to get east to west in Baltimore City, trying to get around, that to me has been, as a personal achievement, like where I felt I got the most traction on transportation. So I'm excited to see what happens for you and in Columbia. And Elise, like, that's like one of those issues, I think, where you may hear about in a community meeting at Vantage Point or at M Flats. You might hear somebody say, well, like, these trails are awesome, but I can't find them all. Or how do I, you know, are we allowed to, you know, could I ride scooters? Or is there a way we could improve the transportation around here? You might hear that constituent concern, and then you might go to a Philip Dodge or an Ian Kennedy or your colleague at the Columbia Association and try to find some sort of path for that. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I encourage you all to use the scooters, especially when we have concerts at Merriweather that are, a lot of them are selling so well this year because people are excited to go back to enjoying themselves and enjoying the music. So say you needed to get to Whole Foods that night when we're having a show, best way to do that, ditch your car, get a scooter.
Right. Ian, you're the master of non-motorized transportation in Howard County. Nobody's rode those 100 miles of trails in downtown Columbia more than you. Talk to me about this recent innovation and what it means for you.
Well, so not only have I spent almost my entire weekend in and around downtown Columbia between Lake Fest, Columbia Festival of the Arts, between some events here at Merriweather, including Robert Plant, Alison Krauss. I saw bunches and bunches of people riding those scooters, which I love to see. I love to see people not in their cars. But I yesterday had a wonderful experience where I had left my bike here at Merriweather, where I work on Saturday night. My wife and my younger daughter came to the show, so we hung out for a while. We drove home together. And so I had a bike at the venue yesterday that I needed to get home. So I packed my lunch, got my backpack. I walked about a half a mile from my house in Oakland Mills. I pulled up the app. I found the closest scooter. It was right on Kilimanjaro Road. It actually happened to be in one of these opportunity zones, where if you start a ride in one of these zones, you actually get a little bit of a discount. So I picked up the scooter right there by my daughter's middle school. I scooted on right over the bridge, right up here to Merriweather. And then I was able to ride my bike home from work at the end of the day. So I feel like I, not only did I hit all the different forms of non-car transportation, I walked, I scooted, I biked, but I had, just the best way to start the day, right? Just out, you're walking through the neighborhood, you've got this scooter, it's super convenient, you're out among the beautiful trees, I got to ride by the lake, see the lakefront. And you get to experience the world the way that it should be experienced, which is not inside of a car, not being grumpy at other drivers, but just hearing the birds chirp, seeing the pretty trees, and starting your day. So
not even an Elevate Maryland podcast in your earbuds as you're traveling. You're au naturel.
I'm going to be totally honest. I was listening to Radio Lab. It was about Neanderthals. So I was listening to a podcast. The way I do that, one ear pod in one ear and the other one open to get the ambient sounds of the neighborhood.
Well, talk to me about this conundrum that I see, because in 2010, there was New City Alliance, there was Save Meriwether, there was Columbia 2.0, there was all of this energy to support really turning the page in Columbia and turning it into a more dense mixed use city, right? And as that success came forward and the capital came forward to back that community vision, which is pretty amazing that the community pulled this whole plan together and was able to attract a $5 billion investor in Howard Hughes, you know, which could be investing in Las Vegas or Manhattan. They're like, no, man, we're all in on Columbia, Maryland. They feel it, they see it. So now you have community, now you have capital, you have all the things that cities require. And I feel like there's this conundrum that you have the new residents that come in, which are the people we've been begging for in Columbia, new engineers and new empty nesters, and getting people like David Nicken and the Allman family living right on the waterfront, in addition to all types of new people working in cyber, Tenable, that whole thing. But then how do you enculturate them into these tools that, Ian, you probably have the best handle on, because you served in government and served in community as a top advisor to the Howard County Executive. But I'd love to hear from all three of you, like, is there a bit of a conundrum with the new residents that are coming in there feeling like how we can get them connected? Is there anything I can be doing better? Is there anything I can do to support you all doing what you're doing? That's kind of where I'm coming at and wanted to have a public conversation about it. Ian, what do you think?
I mean, I actually think that I think it is a testament to Columbia, the fact that we are able to grow, we're able to change, we're able to evolve, but at the same time, we are doing so, we are changing, we are embracing the future, but we're doing it in a way that is fully within our value set, the values of, you know, opportunity and inclusion, and, you know, Columbia being this place, this true garden for growing people. And, you know, from my perspective in particular, I mean, we spent a lot of time, 10 years basically working on the downtown master plan. And it's been 12 years since that passed. And there's been a lot of this great work in terms of the design and the hardware. And what we're seeing now is a lot more of the software coming online. And for years, I used to say things like, well, downtown Columbia should be a place where you don't have to look at a calendar. You just come down and there's going to be something happening that you're going to enjoy. And it's happening.
It's happened.
I mean, this weekend, there was a concert at the Chrysalis on Friday night. There was Lake Fest all weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the lakefront. There were events at Colorverse Park and all of the restaurants were open. And then there was a Meriwether concert on Saturday night. Like, if you couldn't find something to do in downtown Columbia, that's on you at this point. And this is true almost every weekend. So all
and
of that nights. Is to
say, yeah, and it's like Ken Allman used to say, yeah. Ken Allman used to say, Maryland, that's where Maryland meets in the middle, man. And that's really true. That's happening.
It is happening. It is definitely happening. And the great thing about the way that it's happening is it is happening in a very Columbia way, because we spent all of the time developing these plans, having these community conversations, these charrettes, you know, 15, 17 years ago, the community came together. And we're just, this is the kind of community we are. We're engaged in the work of community building together. And so when you do new things, they are still very much of and for and by Columbians. And I think that is, you know, that's what's helped Columbia be successful for more than 50 years. And that's why we're going to be successful for at least another 50.
Philip is, at least we had a major government officials visit downtown Columbia under Phillips' leadership, and he was handing out these packets for them all to look at. And I'm thumbing through the packet, and in the packet, he puts the 2010 general plan for Columbia, because it's kind of the Bible for the community here. Philip, talk about this software notion that we contemplated in the plan, right, with the construction of your group and doing things with the Merriweather property, with sort of hardware and software. Talk about that, how that impacts your day to day. Give me your thoughts on, if you could, give me your thoughts on this overall issue about what I call a conundrum about the new residents, and then you have the more established residents, and finding ways to bring all that together.
It's interesting. Obviously, there's a lot of protection for downtown, for, you know, what used to be called, you know, town center, the mall, the lakefront. People who've lived here for a long time are fiercely protective of it, for better or for worse. And, you know, some of them are kind of guilty of wanting to time capsule the area, or even revert it to something it was 20, 30 years ago, or something maybe it never was. And then you've got these new folks that come in without that baggage, without that history, and, you know, also without that, you know, some of that is, I think, well-meant nostalgia. But it's, you know, how do you then bring those people, these new residents, into the conversation? Because, you know, if you've been to a public meeting in Columbia or Howard County, the first someone says, hey, my name is, I live at, oh, and I'm a pioneer, or, oh, I've been here for 20 years, or, oh, I've been here for 30 years. And, you know, we need to get past this mentality of, it doesn't matter how long you've been here. Once you're here, you're here and you're part of the community.
Right. And what about the other angle on that, which is sort of like, I'm more Rouse than you, which I fell into exactly. I fell into that trap, Elise. Let me tell you this. I was on the board of the National Aquarium, and I was a big fan of William Donald Schaefer. He had passed. He was the mayor of Baltimore, governor, comptroller. He had passed, but he was a huge benefactor in all ways to the National Aquarium in Baltimore. And after he passed, like, we didn't know what to do. It was a couple years after he's passed, and we have new members of the board. We have new, you know, business partners that are in the room for this annual meeting. And we stand up and we sing happy birthday to a cardboard cutout of William Donald Schaefer. Now, that sounds pretty wild and ridiculous, except that it wasn't until I had my conversation with Bart Harvey and Barbara Nicholas and all these people that had worked for Jim Rouse and said, he doesn't want you to talk about them. He wants you to go out there and listen to the new people, hear what they want, and deliver for them. That's what he wants. So, you know, what do you think of that, Elise?
I always joke, like, when I talk to friends that don't live in the Columbia area, and I talk about how passionate I am for living here, because I grew up in this area, in the Ellicott City area, and went away for college and then wanted to come back here. People look at me like I live in a cult, and it's just kind of funny, because it's things like that where it's like you have a huge population that's very reminiscent of what it was 20 and 30 years ago, and they hold on to that. And then you have the new folks coming in with all the new renovations and the bringing people here and expanding on the arts and the culture. And you can tell, like, they like it a little bit, but they feel conflicted themselves. And so it's just one of those things where the dichotomy of the two groups is so funny, because we have so much in common, but we're stuck in different time periods. And it is like listening to somebody talk about Columbia, if you're not from here or you just moved here, you're like, wow, they really, it's like when you buy a Subaru, you become part of a cult.
And, you know, Elise raises a great point. You know, so you have this really tuned in, you know, minority of people who've either been here for a long time or came in and became really invested. Then you have a new audience that's relatively easy to reach, because they're all, you know, they're living in a few buildings, and we can reach them through a property manager. But then, you know, throughout the county, we have this vast majority of people who, you know, are maybe paying attention a little bit, maybe not paying attention at all. And so we end up with these issues where, you know, you get maybe 10% of the population voting in CA elections. Mm-hmm. And so how do we tap into this audience that's already here and kind of get them to wake up and say, you know, our community is awesome. It's growing in new ways. It has potential, but like, you got to get engaged because not everybody wants this place to succeed.
And that's actually something that I brought up two meetings ago when we were talking about local elections. And luckily, for the town center, it was uncontested. So y'all didn't have to go out and vote. But for some of the other ones in the different neighborhoods, you did. And turnout's really low. And part of that's because we don't emphasize enough why it's important to get involved in your community. And I think, especially for young people, there's a lot of things vying for your time. You may be starting a family, starting a new job. That's why you moved here. Trying to find yourself, trying to navigate all the wonderful opportunities here. And then you're like, oh, and I have to get involved in my community and vote. It takes a lot of effort, and we have to make it easy for everyone to know who our local officials are, what they're doing. Podcasts like this are great. Knowing why it's important to pay attention to local politics and how that affects into the larger scheme of things. Like, yes, we all know to go vote for the president when that time comes around, but really your local elections are what makes the most impact on you and your families while you live here. For the Town Center Community Association, one of the things that we do, we have an architectural committee. So if you wanted to pass something through your homeowner association, or you wanted to paint your door a different color or do some type of landscaping that has to get approved, we vote on that. So it's important that you know who we are so that you can appeal to us. You can understand, like, if we say no or if we say yes, those are all things that I think a lot of people gloss over. And there's a stigma that get involved in your community means that it needs to take a lot of time. But it really doesn't. Like, you can integrate your lifestyle into how much of the community you want to get involved in. Just even that inkling of picking at least one of the organizations that we've talked about on this podcast today to follow them on social media. Just tune in a little bit more. You will get ingrained into your community.
Elise, that's an awesome point. Just for everybody's benefit, can you share some of those social media handles that folks should buy into? Elise, Philip, Ian, just... Any ones you would like to share as your favorite? My favorite in downtown Columbia to follow is the Meriwether Post.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, Jeremy is in a community where we have really no media anymore. You know, it's frustrating that we have to get our news from a part-time blogger, but he's doing a great job. Yes, I would definitely follow that. And then, you know, not to be self-serving, but the partnership is pretty easy. We're Downtown Columbia on Facebook and Downtown Columbia Partnership on Instagram.
Philip's going to regret that because now I'm going to tag him in all my posts. Elise, any other tags you want to throw up?
I would say Philip does a great job with the Downtown Columbia Partnership. They just posted something, I think it was today or yesterday, where you put out the whole week's worth of stuff, combining everything and all the different organizations. Cause I think that's something where people get overwhelmed as by how much we actually do have going on here. Like, I loved Ian's point. If you can't find something to do in Columbia, that's on you. Cause it totally is. But honestly, yeah, you can join the Columbia Association. The CA is on social media as well. If you just type in Columbia Association, then you can have updates on some of the different events that they do around the area as well.
You got a bright new CEO there at the Columbia Association. Been there for what, less than a year?
I think she's right at a year. So yeah, I was about to jump in and say, yeah, she's on Instagram at IamCAPrez, P-R-E-Z. But yeah, so Lakey came to Columbia just over a year ago. Lakey Boyd, for those who aren't like, yeah, sorry, we'll get out of first names here. Talk about insiders. But yeah, so she came.
That's a very prominent role. I mean, it's right. It's one of the bigger homeowners associations in the United States, or one of the more prominent ones. So, I mean,
it is. You're right. You know, like, it's sort of a disservice to call it a homeowners association because it's so much, you know, like, It's bigger than, you know, a lot of municipal governments out there. It's a huge organization and it does awesome things in our community. And so Lakey has been a breath of fresh air there. She's energized long-term staff. She's brought on some fantastic new staff. And she's also like, you know, it's the most alive that organization has been in 20 plus years. And that organization is now willing to speak on matters that, you know, the community cares about. They're willing to speak out on Black Lives Matter. And, you know,
yeah, and look what happens. The president, the former president of the United States, retweets it. You know, it's like, it's pretty good. It's pretty good publicity for Columbia.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what? I think people don't quite understand what Columbia Association does. I know I don't. They have a lot of property around the 10 villages, right? So they're almost involved in any question of real estate, in addition to all of the services they provide, whether it's the pools or the fitness facilities. But what am I missing as somebody that doesn't live there, or maybe new to Columbia Association, about sort of what they do bread and butter wise for the community?
Can I jump in here? Because so Damien, you are great about always reminding people Columbia, 100 miles of off-road pathways. There are pathways through all of our neighborhoods, all of our villages. They are amazing. I use them every day. But I was just talking to somebody actually on Sunday night, somebody I went to the Paul McCartney concert with at Camden Yards, by the way. So I do go to concerts outside of Merriweather. And this he is a father of a young daughter. And he just that weekend had done his very first Columbia Neighborhood Swim League swim meet. And he would not stop gushing about it. And my daughters have been in the swim league for, you know, as long as they could, since they were five. So we're coming up on 10 years. And I had the same experience on Saturday morning at our meet, where it really is, in terms of community building programs that the Columbia Association does, do not sleep on CNSL, on the swim league, because it is essentially like a neighborhood gathering, in particular for parents, on Saturday mornings, where you got coffee, egg sandwiches, donuts, the concessions, the kids. Like, it's not competitive, but it is one of these things that I think CA should be making videos about. They should be telling the story about how communities come together around these pools, in particular on Saturday mornings around these swim leagues, because it really is a chance to get to know your neighbors in a setting. You know, they talk about the third space, right? Third places, Damien, planning. You got work, you got home, and then these third places where communities come together and the bonds are made. And like, every year my enthusiasm and joy, not just for CNSL, but for Columbia, is renewed on these Saturday mornings, bright and early.
So early.
Yeah. Extremely early. My wife sets up concessions. She's out of the house at 5:15, but it is totally worth it. Just the feeling, the vibe, the community that's built at those.
So here's where you guys are going to gag, because that's right. Rouse said he didn't want everybody to have individual pools. He wanted to have community pools. And then he had this Columbia Association that built the software that you're talking about, Ian, many years ago, and it's working. But, you know, if you're a new resident in Columbia, you may not know that. And if you're a resident in one of the villages, until these scooters got put in, you might think it's a little inconvenient to get into town. So it seems like one of the ways, Ian, the swim program, and there's got to be others like it, that are all inclusive, all connecting, and people can get a real feel of what the whole village experience is. Am I getting that right, Elise? What am I missing?
We have a skate park too, and dog parks that Columbia Association does. And those are really great places to meet and do community as well. So if swim's not your thing, that we literally have something for everything. They just did a midnight mini golf activity that was put in the town center community e-blast. So they're always trying to do things to bring kids in the community together, which I think is awesome.
And I love the midnight mini golf. It's something that former Harper's Choice board member Ashley Vaughn was sort of spearheading. But, you know, so the sports park is in Harper's. It's got mini golf. It's got batting cages. It has the skate park, which I'm entirely too old to skate at, and I will not make that mistake ever again. But, you know, it's always kids. So Ash is like, well, I want to play mini golf. We should have it open after hours and we should have drinks there. And so, yeah, now they're doing midnight mini golf.
We're still waiting on beer for beer at pools. Right, Philip? Still no sign of that yet. Sorry.
So it's been a Ian little injecting, bit injecting a little, Ian injecting a little wedge issue for us to
no, practice. No. I mean, this has been a little hobby horse of mine that I've ridden for a few years here. I just feel like they have some pools where they could build in just adjacent to them little beer gardens, and you could turn these into sort of multi-generational, because I recognize I'm speaking from the perspective as a father in a lot of cases. And so I'm always looking for things that I can do with my kids. But I mean, the pools, just given their location, central location in so many neighborhoods, I feel like they could become, they could engage younger and older generations of adults, of people over 21.
Ian, with all this good stuff going on, I'm just regretting cutting you off now, and I'm deliberating about, should I walk that back or should I just continue to cut you off?
Just go. We'll clean this up in
post, right? Yeah. So here's my question. Did Lakey, who's got this wonderful reputation, is doing things on the ground, and you got this amazing software in the community that already exists, especially in these other villages, might be a good thing for the town center folks to take a look at and share in, but did she just walk into sort of this ages old back and forth Columbia Association where they go from like, look, I'm kind of foreign to it, but it just seems like they go yimby, nimby, sort of back and forth, or there's elements of each that take a pronounced amount of power. And it seems like the wrong issue for the Columbia Association to be focusing on the leadership. The board seems like they should be focused on like, what do our people want? How do we get it to them? Is she just walking into a tough situation there with the change in leadership, or are we not giving the new board leaders enough hope and hope they, you know, they see all the progress that's happening all around Columbia, and maybe they weren't 100% right in 2010 by being against the plan, and they don't need to relitigate it now? Or is that just sort of something that's always going to be a back and forth? That was the longest rambling question in the history of this podcast.
This is the hot potato, but you know, this is what, you know, the CA board, you know, it's a unique organization. You know, most boards are self-built. So you see where you lack, you know, where you lack expertise, or where you lack information, or where you, oh my gosh, lack diversity, and you figure out how to build a board that represents a community and also has all the skill sets you need to run an organization. In this case, you know, we elect someone to serve on this board from each village, and it's 10% of the population that elects them at best. And historically, people run for this board because they have some axe to grind, and not necessarily because they want to make the community better. They just want to, like, you know, something happened that angered them about how CA works. And then they end up just in there sort of grandstanding and not spending their time the best way possible. And not, you know, what's the board's job? Strategic vision, fiscal responsibility. And they get lost in the weeds and, you know, battle staff and don't pay attention to what they should be focused on, and end up just making it this board that no one in their right mind would want to serve on, because my God, why would you want to spend 5 hours on a Thursday night arguing with people? Sorry, long answer. Grumpy answer.
I mean, I think people have felt that way about the Howard County Public Education Board over the years has had similar kinds of struggles. But the Columbia Association, you know, I think, is there a way to turn over a new leaf
I mean, I think the way is to, you know, wake up this huge portion of the community that's just not tuned into it and not realizing what they lose by not being engaged, that we could, you know, again, we suffer because we are a great place to live, but we could be better.
I also think, though, I think there's two sides of this coin, and one side is greater engagement and participation, and another side of it is a recognition from the institution itself, the Columbia Association, that the manner by which it is governed and it selects its governing structure or its governing body has systemic problems that inhibit engagement. And, you know, I mean, I think I look at some other organizations like CA, and there are organizations like CA that represent large, cities like Columbia in this sort of weird, not quite homeowners association, not government, where they will have, for instance, a seat on the board for renters, for people who are renting and sort of owning their home, or they'll have a seat on the board for the business community. And so, you know, to Philip's point about when you have we both have boards of directors and when you have a board like this that is self-built, they will look around and they will say, okay, who do we need to fill this board out? I think the Columbia Association board, I think there's been enough of a history for it to say, okay, you know, we do have persistently low voting and persistently low engagement with our governing structure and our elections. Do we need to reimagine how we do these things? And I, you know, I don't say this from a like I want to run the people who are there out of town, but a, you know, the planting a seed for a garden or for a tree under whose shade we shall never sit, right? Thinking about the institution as something that will outlast all of us. And what is the best way to achieve, in particular, the goals and the vision and the values of Columbia, which are, you know, this garden for growing people. There's a place for everyone here. Well, how can the CA board better reflect that idea? And to me, like I said, it's two sides of a coin. More engagement from the community, but also an institution that recognizes that it can do more to better engage and hear from parts of the community.
Now, let me go to somebody who actually has the energy to follow through on such a bold plan there. Elise, is Ian making sense there, or is that too challenging for somebody that's right there on the ground today, just acquainting all of these new residents with the opportunities in Columbia?
No, I mean, that's why I wanted to get involved initially, because I've lived in Columbia for 6 years now. And my first time at the town center board meeting, they're like, where have you been? And I was like, well, I probably didn't know fully how to get involved, didn't think I had the time, wanted to make the time now, especially with the last local election round and seeing the stuff with the CA. I mean, the Columbia Association does a lot of great things. Every organization in Columbia at the end of the day has Columbia's best interests in mind. We all want to make Columbia a great place, a livable place, a place where we celebrate art, innovation. That's very apparent, but we all get in each other's way all the time. And the public sees that. And so instead of being unified, it becomes a thing where, well, our programming is better, or this is this, or we're going to fight this. And we lose in the nuance of that. I was getting frustrated. And I was like, how can I come and be a voice? Because you're right. Columbia Association takes care of all the bike trails, takes care of all the wonderful nature areas, works with Howard County Department of Parks and Recs. Like, they work very closely together to make everything EcoWorks. They work with them to really make this area so beautiful. But in the grand scheme of things, it's like, I live in an apartment. A lot of us listening to this live in apartments. We have a gym in our apartment. We have a pool. So what else is CA going to do for us? And that's something where I think we lose sight of, CA loses sight of what they have to offer us and why they should be appealing and why we should get involved with them. And that's what all the organizations need to remember, that it's not just the people that are coming here, living in single family homes, making families that are going to grow into people that stay in Columbia. You have a lot of renters in this area. The housing market is not great for us to buy homes right now. So apartment living is the new way of the future that a lot of people don't want to, I mean, we're millennials. They don't want to acknowledge that. And that's a very,
Well, your generation has been thefted by the preceding generation. So, you know, that's not on you. You're
not Gen X. Gen X.
We were thefted too.
Lost in the middle. We don't even exist.
But I think that's why, like all of us on this podcast, we understand that. And we realize that getting new voices in here means that we have to serve those people and we have to get ways to have them be involved in the community. And that's one of the biggest things of why I chose to be on the Town Center board. Am I making huge leaping changes every time we meet? No, but just being there makes a difference. Being there, having that voice makes a difference for the renters in our community that I want to represent.
Well, and it makes a point about that generational transfer of power and, and finding I'm not looking forward to letting go of the reins myself. I feel like I just got here, but at some point we do, every generation needs to say, well, you know what? I had my 10, my 20, my 30, my 40 years to lead. It's time to step back and let the next generation jump in. And I think we're really struggling with that locally. Like that's
I think a couple people have done a great job of that. Ian Kennedy has been a great person in that role. Guy Gazzoni, the chairman of the Budget and Taxation Committee, has done a masterful job of giving people the reins early in his career, including people like Ken Allman, who then learned to give people the reins early in their career and build trust that way. So I think you hit it right on the head here. You know, there's a talk about hot potatoes. There is a very hot contested county council race in
District
the area, in the area which you all are operating. And I'd love to get your input from all three of you, if you can. If it gets you in trouble, I don't want you guys to get yourselves in trouble. But if you could talk about what role the Howard County government can play with, some of these new residents and longtime residents alike, if you could talk about that, and if you have any insight into that county council race, that would be great to hear too.
I think it represents perfectly what we've been talking about this whole time, this idea of growth, of moving forward, of embracing the new, or sort of, panicking, freaking out, and like, change, it's too much, I can't handle the change. And so you have an incumbent who, District 4, downtown is square in District 4. And you have an incumbent who is...
I'll name names just for the listeners. So there's an incumbent council member. It's her first term. Her name is Deb Young. She's a lawyer and she represents Town Center, right?
Yeah. And I have no doubt that she means well. She,
of course,
she's not a bad person. She means well, but...
Hell of an organizer. I think
she's pushing back against things that are in the plan that we've always known are in the plan. So like we always knew that there was going to be a cultural center in downtown on the Toby's spot. And we know that this is critical for both downtown and the community. It provides black box theaters. It provides all kinds of art spaces. It provides housing for artists. And, she abstained from a vote on it. So like, didn't even take one side or the other. Just like, I don't want to focus on it.
So all those issues Elise is talking about, she took a walk on.
Yeah, and whereas you have Jansen Evelyn, who is a young guy who came to this country, so he got engaged because of the redevelopment or the proposed redevelopment of the Hickory Ridge Village Center And residents there saying, well, we don't want apartment people. And he's like, well, hold up. I'm an apartment person. My family was apartment people. Like, there's, you know, don't stigmatize multifamily housing, especially at a time when the cost of housing in our community is just bonkers. I think the choice really is one of, you know, kind of looking back, regressive, time capsuling this place, or, you know, again, pushing it back to this thing that maybe it never really was, but this idea of what it once was, or embracing the future and realizing that, you know, this community can be every, you know, it can be a new kind of city.
I heard this line about the incumbent council member from some progressives and Democrats saying that she was the Joe Manchin of the Howard County Council. And I didn't know if I really thought that was perfect or I was just like, you know, this Jansen Evelyn guy, man, he is a constituent servant. So, you know, to me, it's just like, just get that guy out in the community, knocking on doors. And he's going to sell himself to that community, you know, in a way much like Deb did her first time around. He's got a lot more aspirational views, I think, for downtown Columbia. I saw him at a stand-up poetry slam. I was like, this guy is cool.
I think there's, you know, we have some great lessons we can learn from the previous two county council members who served in District 4, which is, these are two county council members, Ken Ullman and Mary Kay Sigety, who served for three terms. These are two county council members who didn't just take everything that it was once the Rouse Company, then it was General Growth, now it's Howard Hughes, that the master developer said and did it.
That's for sure.
These were people who held the developer to the standards and the values and the expectations of the community, but didn't also embraced the progress, right? Saw the future, saw the possibility. And, you know, I mean, that was
for people that don't know how independent our former council member is there. I saw her walk up to the developer, the big honcho at the Howard Hughes Corporation, and said, you know, the people wanted these buildings higher. You have the rights to go up. And the plan approved this thing for like 14 stories. You know, you're doing 10 or whatever. I think you're going a little short. That's how independent she is.
There's this idea that like, I mean, you can embrace progress and recognize that it takes the entire community. It takes residents, it takes businesses, it takes government, it takes the developer. We've all got to sort of work together to achieve this. And you can do it in a way in which your criticisms and your comments and your concerns can be constructive and can allow for progress to continue, and where you can be a cheerleader for progress while at the same time ensuring that it aligns with the community's vision and the community's values. And that's, I think, you know, part of, I think, some of the concerns and frustrations in the community are around this idea that, like, we already just said that we wanted this great new downtown. And sure, we don't want to just give a blank check to the developers, but we do want to ensure that we are making progress towards our goals and our vision.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, you adapt or you die. And that's the choice we have. But, you know, we decided 12 years ago that we want this downtown. So we need to push forward and make sure it is the downtown that works for everyone. But you can't just, you know, slice and dice pieces out of it and decide you don't want them, because, again, it's a plan. It's built to work, and you need all the elements.
And I just say, these Howard County Council people, if they're dialed in, you know, like Mary Kay Sigety, like, if you got a constituent issue, she solves it, you know, just like Elise Wood or just like Ian Wood, you know, and that to me seems like the energy that Jansen has, not just big vision, but like real follow through for the community. Elise, you want to weigh in, or are you going to, you got to take the smart way out and just say, I'm going to pull my members?
No, I mean, I think I'll plug again. If anybody listening to this do not know who those two names are, they need to look it up. Everybody has Google, guys. Look it up.
Deb Young, sure. J-U-N-G, and then Jansen Evelyn, E-V-E-L-Y-N. My daughter's name is Evelyn, so I think I got that right.
But just know who these candidates are and go out and vote. It's so important to vote for these things because they represent you and your voice, and they need to be listening to you. To not take a vote on something is not appropriate of a council member, in my opinion. And that is what really turned it for me, where I do feel, I mean, I'll
when not tell anybody who's voting on the affordable housing.
Just a lot of the decisions made, I understand it can put you in a tricky position when you have to make controversial votes like that, but you have to say what your constituents want, and that is your job, and the inability to do so spoke volumes. So her choosing not to vote spoke enough volumes for me as a young person in Columbia to go with somebody who I believe is bringing a voice, which is Jansen.
Yeah. And if you do Google these folks, you'll see some interesting stories popping up that may make the case easier and easier for you. There's a lot of controversy on Twitter right there in your neighborhood. People from Baltimore to Annapolis are chiming in. So I would check it out. I'm so grateful to have you three here. I'm so thankful you guys went over the time that I talked to you about doing this. But we love this place, some from afar as observers, and then some as people that are making the gears work in this amazing community. Guys, I hope we can continue this conversation in the future. Elise Carter, Philip Dodge, Ian Kennedy, these are the guardians of Columbia's future, and they're asking for your help to join them. Thanks for joining us on the Centre Maryland Conference Call Pod.